WRIRLP 97.3 FM, Richmond, you are tuned in to Cause and Effect. I am Lightning's Girl, bringing you a full 2 hours about the Dublin, Ireland band My Bloody Valentine. They've been around since 1983, then they sort of vanished off the face of the planet in the mid-2000s, and then resurfaced not too long ago playing some festivals and a handful of tours around the country. And I've been sort of putting off doing a show on My Bloody Valentine for a couple of reasons. They're incredibly influential. There's so many ways I could have kind of spun this show. I could probably do a full month on the ways that this band has affected independent music, and not just independent music, really rock guitar bands over the last almost two decades now. So I just sort of had an epiphany, I don't know, maybe about 2 weeks ago, and then I started doing lots of research, and then this sort of path formed, and I thought what was really fascinating about this band, and here's where the myth-busting part of explaining the sort of legend of My Bloody Valentine comes in, is their sound didn't happen overnight. I think they're a really cool story because I won't say they were a terrible band to begin with in the early 80s, but they weren't super original. They were clearly still discovering themselves, and they're the ultimate cause and effect band because you can really follow their development through the 80s into the 90s and to the point where you have a record as ridiculously legendary as Loveless. So I'm really excited to sort of break. This is part one of two shows. So tonight will be 2 hours of more of their early influences. I broke this show down into a timeline. And then next week will be the sort of Big Hurrah, Isn't Anything, and Loveless, and then the bands that they've influenced. But there's such an interesting story in their early roots that this is really going to be a focus more about the beginnings of what made the band who they've become. So I think one really important fact to say is they didn't invent shoegaze. In fact, the things that sort of defined shoegaze bands of the time, and I'll go into later who these bands were, used a lot of pedals, choruses, flangers, things that the Cocteau Twins really were sort of famous for. And these were things early on, especially on record, that My Bloody Valentine didn't do at all. They were all about their technique of how they strummed their guitars, and I'll talk a little bit more about that as well. So things like guitar amps and tunings, and yes, pedals and volume are all an important part of the sound, his Fender Jag. Really, the way they strummed their guitars are what's truly important about this trademark technique. And then the way they mic'd their amps during the recording sessions, which I'll talk about next week when we get into Loveless. A really cool fact that a lot of people don't know about Kevin Shields, the main guitar player, songwriter, vocalist for My Bloody Valentine, is he has dual citizenship to America and Ireland. He was born in Queens, New York, grew up in Long Island, Strong Island, if you will, and then moved to Dublin at age 10. So this means his exposure to early music was a lot of American bands, one of which being the Ramones, and we'll talk about their importance to Kevin's guitar playing a little bit later as well. I think that as much as I'm not a big horror film buff, but I kind of giggle at the fact that they're named after a not very good horror film called My Bloody Valentine that came out in 1981. So to backtrack, tonight's 2 hours will be exploring their famous sonic sound, which really didn't happen overnight. And, you know, surprise, surprise, I'm starting the show with Velvet Underground. I know you guys are probably not super sick of hearing them, like, I'm sorry of them. But let's face it, Velvet Underground, especially Lou Reed, has done some very important texturizing of guitar tones that have affected everybody on the planet who care about guitar tones. So, yes, we have to play play Velvet Underground to kick off the show. So, to start things off, My Bloody Valentine began in 1983. They had actually gone under a different name, The Complex, and there are a couple handful of terrible other names. But Kevin Shields and drummer Colm Okusik, they eventually kind of landed on an early lineup that had a vocalist named David Conway, and then his girlfriend played keyboard, Tina, and they actually didn't even have a bass player early on. And so this original lineup gave them a very birthday party cramps, kind of gothy garage sound. And you're going to hear some of those influences and hear a very, very early release by them, and you'll see firsthand that this band did not begin sounding like the band you know them to be on the record love list. So without further ado, we're going to kick things off with the ultimate original OG goth dramatic brooding band, The Doors.
Thank you. life is likened to a bargain store, and I may have just what you're looking for. If you don't mind the fact that all the merchandise is used, but with a little mending it could be as good as new. Why, you take for instance this old broken heart. If you will just replace the missing parts, you would be surprised to find how good it really is. Take it and you never will be sorry that you did. The bargain store is open, come inside. You can easily afford the price. Love is all you need to purchase all the merchandise, and I can guarantee you'll be completely satisfied. Take these old used memories from the past, and these broken dreams and plans that didn't last. I'll trade them for a future, I can't use them anymore. I've wasted love, but I still have some more. The bargain store is open, come inside. You can easily afford the price. Love is all you need to purchase all the merchandise, and I can guarantee you'll be completely satisfied. My life is likened to a bargain store, and I may have just what you're looking for. If you don't mind the fact that all the merchandise is used, but with a little mending it could be as good as new. The bargain store is open, come inside. The bargain store is open, come inside.
And you're listening to Cause and Effect. I'm Lightning's Girl. WRIR would like to thank RVA Magazine for its underwriting support. RVA Magazine is a quarterly publication providing coverage of Richmond's art and music scene, offering editorials and opinions about events, people, and happenings. RVA Magazine is available at many local coffee houses, bookstores, and retailers throughout the city. You may find RVA Mag on Facebook, Twitter, and at rvamag.com. Thank you, RVA Magazine. And I got one more little message for you. If you want your artwork to be seen by hundreds of people, submit a design for WRIR's t-shirt contest. You've seen our WRIR shirts all over town. Now you can be our shirt. The deadline for entries is February 6th. Go to WRIR.org for all the details. Remember, entries are due on February 6th. And speaking of WRIR.org, that is where you want to go if you're curious about what you're hearing during tonight's show, which is all about the Irish group My Bloody Valentine. I'm going to actually go in reverse order of how I normally read the set list of what you just heard, because this show is working kind of in a timeline. So we kicked things off at the Doors. We heard the Virgin Prunes with Deadly Sins, important not only because they were regional to My Bloody Valentine and early peers to the band, but the Virgin Prunes actually gave them early contacts to help them get some of their first shows and set them up in kind of overseas and in places like Holland and I believe Berlin eventually. We heard Chrome with Eyes on Mars. I could have just as easily played Joy Division, but I wanted something within that sort of feedback, distortion, flat vocal tone world. Clearly guitar influences going on for that track. Birthday Party with Junkyard. An important fun fact about the guitar player, Roland S. Howard from Birthday Party, he also played a Jag, and obviously that's the guitar Fender Jag that Kevin Shields plays, and one of two bands that really inspired him to make that guitar his. And Birthday Party is really important sound-wise because they do the whole haunting garage, noisy, gothic, dramatic thing that, as you could tell from the following song, which is My Bloody Valentine with Don't Cramp My Style off of This Is Your Bloody Valentine. It was put out on Tycoon Records in 1985. It was a 7-song mini album recorded while they were in Berlin and definitely reflects that sort of post-punk gothic tendency. It just, I hate to say it's adorable, but it's really sweet to hear a band that we associate with such greatness and ridiculous, amazing guitar tones to this kind of early, still finding themselves. It's sort of charming. It's like looking at somebody's, you know, high school photo in a yearbook or something. So even though I honestly don't love these tunes, they're still really important to their journey in becoming who they were. And at this time point is when Deb, and I wish I should really know how to pronounce her last name. Is it Googe? Googe? Entered as bass player. And it's kind of interesting because she met them in 85. Her girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, was living, I think, in Berlin at the time. And since My Bloody Valentine was living there, they were asking around if anybody knew bass players since they didn't have one. And Deb's ex-girlfriend passed along their name. They ended up moving back to London, and she just kind of showed up for some practices. And they never really said, you're in the band. They just kept saying, hey, we're practicing again if you want to show up. And so she recorded Geek and just sort of assumed at that point that she was in the band. So there wasn't really a big formal, hey, welcome to My Bloody Valentine. Deb just sort of formed when, it's sort of an interesting turning point for the band as well, because the singer David Conway and his girlfriend Tina both ended up leaving the band. And so this leaves a ginormous hole of vocals and whether or not they were going to do a bass player or a keyboard thing. So Deb enters in the role of bass player, and then I'll get back into how Belinda enters the picture as the next guitar player and vocalist. We heard The Cramps with Garbage Man, clearly another huge influence on early My Bloody Valentine. And you might be wondering why in the world I played a Dolly Parton song, Bargain Store no less, a not super well-known Dolly Parton song. But in 1987, when MBV needed to replace Dave as a singer, Belinda auditioned by actually walking in and playing, or not really playing, but singing, I believe maybe even a cappella, the version of Dolly Parton's Bargain Store. And both Deb especially was so smitten with the fact that she picked a Dolly Parton song to try out for My Bloody Valentine that they had her join. So she didn't even know really how to play guitar at this point, but Kevin took it upon himself to teach her these things. And I don't know, it's such a great fun fact that a Dolly Parton song is what helped get Belinda Butcher into My Bloody Valentine. So that's what you heard before The Birds, which was my talking track, and we heard the song Why. And this is very important because, as Kevin describes it, they moved from the cramp sound to discovering The Birds, 12-string guitars, a lot of British bands. That was kind of a popular sound then. Which we'll go into this next set, which is the whole C86 kind of jangly paisley pop twee thing. And so there were bands like Primal Scream happening, and early on they were very birdsy but louder and more aggressive. So the scene was sort of transforming, not quite noisy yet, not quite hard, but still with attitude. And I think this was a turning point for My Bloody Valentine, not just because they had basically secured what would be their lineup for quite some time. But they were all kind of mastering their styles, and with new voices in the band, Kevin decides to be the other vocalist, so you have the boy-girl interchange of vocals. So I'm going to kick this next set off with some more of the C86 bands that were a little louder and some more influences. So we're going to start with the My Bloody Valentine track, Sunny Sunday Smile, off of Sunday Sunday Smile. And this is dedicated to Matt. It is her third EP and was released in 1987 on Lazy Records. And it's also the last to feature vocalist David Conway.
In your love, it's exciting. I'm gonna make you mine. drop into her world. I'm starting to jump and shout, but she's turning me inside out. I dream about the girl from the chain store. I dream about her every day. Somehow I know I gotta get near her. Gotta have got something to say. Cause there she goes, that girl. I'd like to drop into her world. I'm sorry to jump and shout, but she's turning me inside out. She's running about. Inside out. Inside out, yeah. Inside out.
But we'll turn a bell and tell the arts to play. I know, I don't know why. Oh, I don't know why. Perhaps they'll die. Oh, yeah. 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 Thank you for the same as the past. Thank you for the duty of the road. But we'll turn a bell and tell the arts to play. I know, I don't know why. Oh, I don't know why. I feel nice.
7.3 LPFM
with Gene in Richmond, Virginia,
USA, and broadcast live around the world
at WRIR.org.
Again, you're listening to WRIR LP 97.3 FM, Richmond. Cause and effect, I am Lightning's girl, tongue-tied, quarter till eight. Tonight's show is all about My Bloody Valentine, and you had heard me correctly if you've been tuned in from the beginning. This is part one of two shows. It was just absolutely impossible to try to say everything I wanted to say about this band, how they've affected the timeline of music, especially guitar bands in the last 20 years, and just squeeze it all in 2 hours. It would be a crime to do so. So I have broken it down into two parts, and we're kind of going through the early years of My Bloody Valentine this evening, and we'll pick up again next week, same time, same day, and we'll kind of follow from Isn't Anything into Loveless, and then What in the World Went Wrong After Then. Behind me right now is Einsters and Neubauten, or Neubauten, depending on how you want to say it, with Collapse, a noise influence. Kevin Shields talks about his love for this band, especially early on, and clearly the importance of their experimentation with sound and layering. We heard Wire with Map Reference 41. I almost played this for next week, but Wire is an influence on Kevin Shields. And even though the song came out actually in 1999 as part of a Wire tribute album, My Bloody Valentine covered it almost note for note. They built the song on top of the original and were really super anal retentive about matching it as closely as possible. This is during Kevin's more obsessive phase in recording. So even though in the timeline it really belongs after Loveless, because it's an influence, I wanted to include it now. We heard Another Sunny Day, Anorak City, and this was off of a comp called C86, The Birth of Indie Pop, and they were a London-based band that were on Sarah Records, I believe, and were really kind of best known for being within the realm of bands that sort of sounded like the Smiths. We heard the Ramones with Judy is a Punk, and I found a really great quote from Kevin Shields about his love and obsession with the Ramones, and Johnny Ramone in particular. And this is something that I really didn't know very much about, because you certainly can't really hear the Ramones as an obvious influence. But he says that I always wanted to be like Johnny Ramone, just to be really good at one thing. I think because I was never personally dexterous, and because I never really learned how to play a scale or lead guitar or anything, but because I still want to be expressive, that made me use the tremolo arm, which is a little addition to a guitar that some people call a whammy bar that makes it warble. which is the technique everybody knows Kevin's guitar sound to sound like, which gave me something to work with for a long time. Johnny was known for his fast, high-energy playing style that consisted of rapid downstroke bar chords, often in a simple progression called buzzsaw. And so once you know that, it suddenly makes a whole lot of sense about where Kevin started to base some of his early playing style off of. We heard Pop Will Eat Itself, Black Country Chainsaw Massacre, another C86 band. And basically what C86 is was a cassette compilation that was released by the British music mag NME in 1986. And it featured a bunch of new bands from UK independent record labels at the time. And basically C86 then became sort of a shorthand term for all the bands that sounded like the ones found on these comps. They were very Birds-influenced jangly guitars. And there were spans. Some of it was more Smiths and Paisley pop sounding. But then some of it was actually a little bit more rockin'. And that will bring you to the more Jesus and Mary Chain side of things, which we'll get to later. And the cassette had been reissued in CD form with bonus tracks in 2006. And so these are where these tracks came from. So I really want to paint an example of some of what was happening musically in the landscape around My Bloody Valentine in London at the time that they were recording Sunny Sunday Smile. So the next set is going to be a little bit more about developing their exploration for sonic layering. And part of, I think this is actually going to be, okay, no, the long set's coming up after this. I wanted to throw in the Cocteau Twins, and it's interesting because people assume that because the shoegaze movement is so heavily attributed to the Cocteau Twins, that My Bloody Valentine is part of that fan club, and that's actually not the case. In fact, all of the more, you know, traditional shoegaze bands that everybody lumps in under the name shoegaze is totally different. So these bands, like Cocteau Twins, would use choruses. These are all guitar pedals, flangers, all those kinds of effects to really take the raw sound coming from the guitar into the amp and then distorting it in all sorts of playful ways and then adding even more layers in the studio. And that's actually not what Kevin Shields does at all as a guitar player. He was about really playing with that tremolo arm on his guitar, playing with the tremolo on two different amps and sending a microphone in between the two amps. So one amp would be set with one level of tremolo speed. The other amp would have a different speed, so the sound coming out of his guitar would sound really mysterious and sort of confusing because they'd be all layered wavelengths coming at you at different times playing the same notes. And then you add on his particular strumming style with the sort of whammy bar attached to his guitar. And then he had all sorts of more techniques he added to this over the years that I'll talk more about when we get into Loveless. But really, very different from what a lot of the traditional shoegaze bands that we'll hear a little bit more in the second hour of tonight's set. So, kicking things off with the Cocteau Twins, and then we're going to go into some Sonic Youth, and a couple surprises that you might not really expect this band to be influenced to. So, thank you so much for listening. It looks like there are lots of you streaming online, and that's just, it's such a treat to know that anybody's paying attention. So, thank you guys so much for tuning in tonight. It's much appreciated. So this is Cause and Effect. 10 more minutes until 8 o'clock. We'll be right back.
this. The bed bugs have bitten right to the fix of things. All my friends and people, my best friends, they've all forgotten me.
WRIR LP 97.3 FM, Richmond, Cause and Effect, 8 o'clock sharp.
Just have to stay, don't have to stay. You know you mustn't slip up. Ah ha ha. Well, there's no sense to lose now. Nothing's too good. Ah ha ha. You know you mustn't slip up. You mustn't slip up.
Take me there. I need a
entering the second hour of Cause and Effect, all about My Bloody Valentine. This is part one of two shows. Yep, next week will be another 2 hours of things all about My Bloody Valentine. Tonight are really about walking through the 80s of My Bloody Valentine, trying to figure out who they are, what they sound like, securing their lineup, really learning how to play their instruments in a way that would become the trademark sound we really know them to have. Let's see, we just heard, I'll start with what's behind me right now. Ooh, and I need, oh, there it is. Husker Du with Hardly Getting Over It off of Candy Apple Gray. I mean, not only is Husker Du considered sort of the godfathers of noise pop, but there's a great quote from Alan McGee, who was the founder of Creation Records, who eventually signed My Bloody Valentine in, I believe, I can't remember if it was 87 or 88. But basically, he thought they weren't, My Bloody Valentine weren't a terribly good band. And then they played a particular live show, and they had sort of really developed their sound into something a little bit more noisy and interesting. And he actually called them the British Husker Du. So it seemed important to include them in this set. And I know Kevin Shields is also a big Husker Du fan. We heard My Bloody Valentine with Never Say Goodbye, one of my favorite of the early My Bloody Valentine songs. That's from their 1987 EP, Strawberry Wine, and is their first release that featured Belinda Butcher, who ended up sharing the vocal duties with Kevin Shields when their first vocalist, Dave Conway, split. We heard Meat Whiplash with Don't Slip Up. It's so tough when you're playing sort of these chainsaw guitar bands. There's so many ones to pick from, and I wanted to play at least one or two that maybe you had never heard before. And Meat Whiplash is one of those bands that I really love, and I don't feel like very many people know who they are, and they do sound a whole lot like Jesus and Mary Chain. So they were a Scottish band who were also one of the early Creation Record signings. We heard, appropriately enough, Jesus and Mary Chain with Taste of Cindy off of Psycho Candy, obviously another influence to the whole scene that was going on in the UK. That overdriven, loud, again, chainsaw guitar sound, sort of the opposite of the more twee C86 thing that was happening. I actually redid this whole set tonight, hoping to play Green on Red Apartment 6. I just started reading, thanks to Miss Lindsay for loaning me the book, the 33 and a third book. Hang on, I'm going to stretch and grab it. There's a whole series called 33 and a third, these little books, and they focus on one record at a time. And there's one called Loveless by Mike McConnagall. I think that's how you say his last name. I actually emailed him today to double check it, but I haven't heard back from him yet. So my apologies, Mike, if I did not say your name properly. And there's some great interviews with Kevin that he had done. And he talks about Green on Red, a band that normally dabbles on a whole lot of other levels, some of which is country. In a million years, I couldn't have guessed Green on Red to be an influence on Kevin Shields. But he talks about a particular track really inspiring him to sort of build on this guitar sound that he does. And so I redone my whole set to include Green on Red, and I don't think it actually just played. Maybe I spaced, which is easy to do in the studio and it's just me. But I'll find a track and attach it to WRIR.org, my post about tonight's show, so you can at least hear the song and hear what that guitar influence is I'm talking about. We heard Sonic Youth with White Cross from Sister, yet another influence. Also eventually appear, another band that explored the possibilities of what a guitar can do, not just sort of that guitar noodly clapped in thing, but really textures, sort of kindred spirits of the sonic landscapes that a guitar can offer. And Sonic Youth also known to play the same guitar as Kevin Shield. And Cocteau Twins at the beginning of that set with Lorelei. And I mentioned this earlier, Robin Guthrie from the band is an influence on shoegaze. Not necessarily My Bloody Valentine, but Kevin never actually talks smack in interviews. He pays respects to them, but doesn't say that that was actually a big influence to them personally. I want to say hello to Sarah and Brad and Nicole, and really, truly thank you, Lindsay, for loaning me the Loveless book. Very much will be a huge help for part two of the set next week. And so this is going to be a super long set. This will take us through a very large portion of the night. And these are going to be some peers, a whole lot of shoegazery, and some important guitar rock that borderlines on influence and peers as well. And I'm going to kick things off with the Pixies' Gouge Away.
Jumping accident. Yeah. Come, child. Let me tell you your fortune.
Oh, thank you. Please, tell me what I'm doing on February 3rd.
I see the number 7 and the letters WRIR.
What could it mean?
Wait, I see more. I see music from White Laces, Janet Martin Band, Baby Help Me Forget, Richmond Youth Jazz Guild, Gamelan Raga Kusuma Ensemble, Josh Behrman and Allison Self, and a Richmond Hip Hop Showcase with Black Liquid, Miss Proper, and Obliv.
Please, tell me more.
Performances. I see performances from Richmond Comedy Coalition, Secretly Y'all Storytelling, Vaudeville Galore Burlesque, Turnstile Sound Systems, DJ Glistenide and WRAR DJs. And wait, I feel drum beats. An opening ceremony hosted by Yetanun.
What is it? What could possibly have all this variety?
WRAR's birthday party, celebrating lucky year number 7. Have at the Renaissance Ballroom, a donation of $10 at the door benefits WRAR and gives access to entertainment, hors d'oeuvres, and even lucky birthday cake.
Okay, so February 3rd, from 7 to midnight, I'll be at the Renaissance Ballroom on Adams and Broad during First Friday, celebrating WRIR's 7th birthday? Thank you! Thank you so much!
Oh man, I hate being in the final 15 minutes of a show that I'm really enjoying. So let's see, behind me right now, wow, I should maybe turn down the headphones. I was cranking that last set. behind me is Mogwai with Mogwai Fear of Satan, the My Bloody Valentine remix. That is a whopping 16 minutes long, so needless to say, we will not be playing all of it this evening. Gosh, I really loved so much about that set. There are a kajillion bands I could have played for that shoegazy, heavy, textured guitar thing, loop telescopes, Spaceman 3, Swerve Driver, Catherine Wheel, heck, even bands like Chapter House. I mean, really, the list goes on and on. It's tough when there's so many bands that did it so well. But I tried to pick some of my favorites. We heard Slow Dive with Albatross off of Just for a Day. That was their debut studio album, and it was also on Creation Records, which was My Bloody Valentine's label towards the late 80s there. And that record came out in 1991. Hey, same year as Loveless. We heard the Swirlies with Enharmony, Newfound Freedom. I'm not going to lie, I like My Bloody Valentine a whole lot. But I really, truly love the Swirlies. They were from Boston. This record came out in 1996 on Tang. A lot of people wrote them off as being just, you know, another MBV knockoff band, but I found just their dynamics and their tension really exciting. And fun fact, I was actually asked to join that band and I chickened out. Their female vocalist, bass player, they'd gone through several lineup changes and they were in need of someone to do it. And I felt really insecure because I didn't know how to play bass very well. And I definitely couldn't do it and sing at the same time. So I said no to one of my favorite bands ever. Oops. We heard the Pale Saints with True Coming Dream off of The Comforts of Madness. And along with London's Lush, this Leeds trio was probably one of the more straight-ahead, dreamy rock bands on 4AD. We heard Ride with Close My Eyes from Smile. Secret Shine, which not very many people know about, but I wanted to sneak them in because I think they're a great example of what was happening on Sarah Records, early 90s. And did I say the song was called Love Blind? It is. We heard the Lilies before that, and I could have played a different Lily song. They actually have a song called February 14th, which is Valentine's Day and a sort of ode to My Bloody Valentine. But I really, really love Tone Bender. And this came off of In the Presence of Nothing. It was released in 1992 between Slumberland and Spin Art. And few people know this, but Kurt Heasley was actually the opening band solo for the My Bloody Valentine show that happened in town. So that show that all of you who love My Bloody Valentine, the opening act that you talked over rudely, that was who it was, Kurt. It's a shame because his songs are so, so incredible. And I think if more people had known the amazing musician that he is and has the music he's been a part of, maybe people would have paid a little bit more attention, but alas, they did not. And that particular record featured members of Velocity Girl, Roper, Suddenly Tammy, and I feel like there's a bunch more too, but sort of an all-star band for that time period of indie rock, jangle pop people. We heard My Bloody Valentine with You Made Me Realize, and that was released in August of 1988. It was their first record on Creation. And a little fun fact for that, the video for that song was directed by Jesus and Mary Chain's ex-bass player, Douglas Hart. And I think that's a really exciting example of how far that band came in just basically 5 years. So tonight's show is all about kind of tracing their progression during those 5 years, and hopefully you have a better sense of where they came from and where they're going to be heading for Isn't Anything and for Loveless, which is going to be what next week's show is all about. We heard The Scientist with Murderous in a Purple Dress. They're an Australian band, heavy on the echo chamber, blown out vocals, noisy, dirgy. And I actually didn't know this till I was looking them up a couple days ago, that one of the members went on to be in the Hoodoo Gurus. And the beginning of the set with Pixies, Gouge Away from Doolittle, another record that came out the same year as Loveless, 1991. So I know they're an influence on Kevin Shields, but also peers. I know they've played shows together over the years as well. So we're going to end tonight's set with some of the remixes that Kevin Shields did. I didn't want to go into too much of the other kind of setting up Loveless and Isn't Anything, because there's so much more to talk about next week. And I'm going to talk a lot about the bands that they've influenced over the last two decades, and more bands that they've influenced. And a really interesting phenomena, I know that My Bloody Valentine has deeply affected electronic music, but where that's not really an area of expertise, because I am a fan of metal, they have had an incredible and interesting influence on black metal and metal in general over the last, I'd say 6 or 7 years especially. So I'm going to play some surprising new bands within the black metal community as world towards the end of next week's show. So you can see the really crazy diverse list of influences that My Bloody Valentine has had on so many different styles of music. So I'm going to go into Yellow Tango's Autumn Sweater, but not until I play the Paul's Boutique little promo. So we're going to hear Yellow Tango, Kevin Shields' remix of Autumn Sweater, Lush, Sweetness and Light, and maybe sneak in a little bit of the Placebo My Bloody Valentine remix of Pure Morning. I've had so much fun. Thank you so much for listening. Paul's Boutique up next with special guest Chris, my pal from Deep Groove. Can't wait to hear that show. So stay tuned. Stay near your radio. Great music all night long.
Looking for something that'll fit your ears just right? Then tune into Paul's Boutique. Choice cuts hand-selected by me, DJ Paul G. Thursdays from 9 to 11 p.m. here on WRIR 97.3 LPFM, Richmond Independent Radio.
the best in men's clothing. Call Paul's Boutique at Arts Jenny's. The number is 718-498-5000.